everybody wants more. So we are grateful for this opportunity because mental health is an area that has been left wandering in the wilderness. A lot needs to be done because for our country to succeed in all areas, we need a mental health population. We looked at three major areas. One area has already been discussed by our friends, Kinada Youth Organization. I'm grateful. We are going to work together. What you have mentioned is part of what I wanted the task force to get. Medical practitioners are having a difficult time. What you have said is right. I have been there since the beginning of the year. There are only one nurse and one doctor. We have a very small group. In fact, yesterday they were telling me it is very dangerous to work in that place. We moved on our idea too. Because in that small room, if somebody comes and they have a mental health issue, and they need to be even carrying a knife, their lives are at risk, but they are still working. They want to be assisted in many areas. Their pay is still low. If you pay them something more, something extra, they get motivated because they are stigmatized, as my friends have said. So I won't go into much about that because it has been presented. Maybe the other areas that have not been mentioned, area number two was research. We need more research to be done and it should be continuous. We realize that the NGO has done research. We don't know when they will do the next one. So we are requesting the national government to provide more funds to the county government so that there is a permanent department of research on mental health where we can have data or statistics on the number of people with mental health up to the grassroots. The prevalent threats of the mental health priority areas. So we request for funding and a permanent research unit to help map the resources to the new areas that are in need. The other thing we request is the strengthening of guidance and counseling services. At the Kenya Counseling and Psychologist Association, we have people who are trained, they are professional counselors. So if the government could work with this group, the KCPA is a registered group, it is recognized. If the government could work hand in hand with this group, to have the professional counselors up to the grassroots, then I'm sure we really take great steps regarding mental health issues. These counseling services are important not only for those who are mentally ill, who have come up and said that they are mentally ill. There are many other people down there who are ill but cannot come up. They need for the services to be taken to them at the grassroots. So we are requesting that the government can take these services to the people, and we have looked at target groups. I think it is in my report, but I can just highlight a few of the target groups and what can be done. We are saying that in the family unit, we have the mother, the father, and the children. So our approach is, how do we meet the men? How do we meet the men to assist them? Because they will not come up to tell you, I have a problem. So our approach is, can we look for places where these men gather? Can we get somebody, an opinion leader, somebody in that group? Can this person be trained? Can this person be given counseling knowledge? So that when men come together in that group, this person will guide them, give them the direction, and eventually we can have everyone in that group mentally healthy. So we are looking at men. Maybe we target reaching the men at parks, because that is where they go, at social media platforms, specifically for men, the football clubs, churches, village garages, the local authority, and even different groups. Now then we have groups for the border border, groups for people who are selling fruits, etc. So we are looking at where can we find these men seated in a group. They could be doing their work, but one of them has this knowledge on counseling. So we are looking at that as a way of promoting mental health. For the women, where do we reach the women? If we go to self-help groups, you know women have chairman, could we have somebody in the chairman trained? So that when the women will come for the chairman, apart from discussing the issues that have brought them there in the chairman, can somebody listen to their problems in that group? Can somebody help them at that point? So we are looking at that. Women can also be reached in church. Women can be reached on social media, on WhatsApp groups, on Facebook. Women can be reached in business groups. Women can be reached in parents meeting, because you know mostly it is the mothers who go for parents meeting. So you can also meet them there and have someone give them this knowledge, or have someone listening to their problem at that point. We also look at the children or the youth. So for the children, to meet their needs, to cut mental health from that lower level, we can meet them from school. So at school, is the government able to make sure that the preschool teacher, do they have counseling skills? So as the preschool teacher is being trained, can somebody do some counseling to them? Can somebody give them those skills for counseling? So that when our children go to preschool, to that very first grade, they find a teacher who has that counseling knowledge. So this teacher is able to handle most of the issues, because these children come from different communities, different families that have challenges. Now, if this child comes to school and they meet a teacher who is a counselor, is a teacher that is also a counselor, we shall have helped that child. Okay, we are also looking at church in Sunday schools. If we can teach the Sunday school teacher and give him or her knowledge of counseling, then we will have been able to get those children who maybe don't go to school, but they have issues. So the Sunday school teacher, as they are teaching the Sunday school, the Bible, they are also helping these children. We also look at social media, because we know our children, especially the adolescents, spend a lot of time on social media, on WhatsApp, etc. Can somebody tap them from that point and give them help? So that in whatever your time can keep their phone, they spend a lot of time on WhatsApp and Facebook. If there is somebody on Facebook or WhatsApp who can take care of their mental health, then that will have really assisted in mental health. Another area is class in secondary school. If you can get these youth who are in maybe drama or sports, when they gather together for that sport, for the drama, you can also have somebody listening to them, somebody giving them psychosocial support. We also look at peer groups in school. How can the government empower a teacher in the school so that the teacher then passes the knowledge to peers who become peer counselors? So that if it is in a school, each phone has one peer counselor who is trained, who knows the issues that are affecting his or her colleagues. So that when there is an issue in that class, before it reaches the class teacher, there is a child there who is already a counselor and can help sort out that issue. So we are looking at that at it from that angle. We are also recommending to the task force talk to the Teacher Service Commission. That is a very, very sensitive place. We have two types of guidance and counseling in schools. One, they are not trained. And then two, even if they are trained, they don't have enough time to do counseling. Because this teacher has lessons from 8 to 5. When will they counsel the students? And counseling, my brother here from KBP will tell you, counseling cannot be done in 10 minutes. Because people confuse counseling and guidance. Most of us just say guidance and counseling. Counseling is deeper, it takes several sessions, but guidance, we can do it even right now, we can talk to you. So, pass this information to TAC. If possible, let them pick one teacher from each school. Let that teacher be exempted from teaching completely, and let that teacher just handle counseling issues from morning to evening. So that at break time, at lesson two, if this child has a problem, they don't have to wait up to four. They can just go to the counseling room and see the counselor. And it is not difficult. They should not say that finances. Just pay the same teacher the same salary you are giving them, but pay them now your duty is no longer the classroom, but just comfortable. So, I think that is what we had. The other area I am not going to talk so much about is about drug and substance abuse. You know that in Kenya, especially in Rwanda, we have a problem with mad people. So something should be done about that. It is partly genetic and partly environmental. Kwa sababu bangi ni nyingi pande hiyo. Sasa watu wanavuta bangi asubuhi, usiku na mchana, mpaka inakuwa shida. So we are requesting that Vihiga County, especially Rwanda County, should be given a lot of assistance. There is a health facility there. It should have more workforce because the cases there are quite high in Vihiga. Thank you so much.
The next memorandum we have is from Nitri Mohati.
Okay, the Task Force, Mental Health Task Force, and ladies and gentlemen, all protocols observed. My name is Nitri Mohati. I'm from Rosamond. I'm a university graduate. I've lived with mental illness for 21 years. And I'll go shortly through what I experienced. Okay, I suffered from mental illness from 98. That time, mental illness was not available in Kakamega as such. I went for treatment in Nairobi. Then, after that, I was after phone call. And I had had information that my mother was not going to live for long. And after that, I went to university after the death of my mother, and I was on medication. But after finishing college, it was difficult to get a job, and that added more stress to myself. I had a lot of stress, and I relapsed again, and that time I was taken to Kakamega General Hospital. They've been very useful to me. They made follow-up. For a very long time, I never used to realize that this medication has to be taken for a lifetime. So for 13 years, I was in and out of the hospital, until I underwent counseling through church members and doctors. And after that, I've been out of the hospital for 7 years now. All I want to say is that mental illness has not been a college restricted to certain third-world countries, unlike the abroad countries, whereby mental illness has been taken seriously. There are very good medications there. People living with mental illness have been given a support financially and even community-wise. Those who are rejected have homes, unlike in Kenya, whereby people just walk on the streets and there is no one who cares about it. Secondly, there is a lot of segregation when it comes to the job market. I personally applied for a job even in the county more than 10 times. I have a first class order, plus master, but I've never gotten a job. Thirdly, they've been segregated even when it comes to marriage. people that call the serial mulatto, but those rules should not be used. These are people who are just capable to do their normal duties when they observe their medication. Socially, they've been segregated. When people see somebody who has had a relapse or who is in that condition, many people tend to lock their doors, and maybe that person just needs for somebody to talk to. Instead of locking the doors and advise the people to talk to such people, maybe somebody will give you a history, or you might listen to a problem and be of some help, or give them food or take them to medication. Then I would like to say that we need to create more awareness and acceptance with the grassroots levels, where we need more community health workers, and these services should be taken to hospitals like Ilesoro, Ifu and other places. We should have a psychiatrist near to these places, because sometimes to transfer such people to general might be costly or might be harmful to the people are transporting. Then I would like to request the county officer to create some funding for such people. Not the 2,000 they get, but something, because when they are the roof, they are not funny. They are just out to make chairs, they are just out to make beds and other things. It might provide a funding of around 20,000 a year or 2,000 per month, but that is for medication, but 20,000 per year. For something useful, something that would give them an income. They might get engaged in something like poultry farming. They might plant bananas or horticulture. Something that will keep them busy and make them feel like they are other people. Then availability of medication. There are two types of medication. There are the fifth level medication like carbamazepine and haloperidol. And there are some medication like olanzapine and quetiapine. That is not available by the hospital, we have to buy them. So if you make that medication available, it works faster than the other medication. Then we have to create jobs for such people, especially if they're to be treated. Where such people can go for medication and then attend their duties. Then I would like to talk about schizophrenia. What is schizophrenia? This is an abnormal behavior that may be defined as disturbing, socially unacceptable, distressing, maladaptive or self-defeating, and often the result of distorted thoughts or cognitions. There are different schools of perspectives of schizophrenia, and we have the medical perspective. The doctor will talk about that. Psychodynamic perspective, behavioral perspective, cognitive perspective, and the social cultural perspective. There are different classes of schizophrenia. We have the anxiety disorder, panic disorder, disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is maybe as a result of a close relative dying. Symptomatic disorder, e.g. conversion disorder, dissociative disorder, mood disorder, depressive disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenic disorder, which we have three types. Paranoid schizophrenia and differentiated schizophrenia and residual schizophrenia. More about this, you might find it in the memorandum. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your experience and making very useful suggestions on what needs to be done as we go forward. The last memorandum that we have received, from the Kenya National Association of Probation Officers, led by Judith Mandila, who is the Secretary General.
The panel is for the cross-fellow participants. Probation officers, first say what they do, then I'll give my suggestions to the gaps that we identified as probation officers. Probation officers work within the criminal justice system of Kenya. They are found in the national government, the Correctional Services Department. And when we talk about correctional services, we are talking about the probation department and the prison. The probation department advocates for rehabilitation of offenders in
in the community. All prisons, pre-addicted and condemned in institutions. We thought of presenting our views to this task force because we come across people who need assistance. And I'll first just say that when the government talks about special category needs groups, I have never understood why they don't include mental health patients as special category groups. And when you have special category groups like the gender and disability, they are mainstreamed in government departments or government services, in all ministries and in all private sectors. Why is it that they cooperate with the two mainstream mental health in the government activities and put a finance on it? Where these people can be helped, where they can be assisted, even mentored. I will also talk about why is it that mental health is a side show in the Ministry of Health? Why can we come up with a ministry or a department in the Ministry of Health just for the State Department of Mental Health so that we have enough funds allocated to that department to actually help the community? I'm saying this because people are born health members, except for those who are born with biological, genetic or mental disorder, where we have specific treatment or medical medication that we are assigned to them. But most of the mental illnesses that we experience in the community are come up as a result of the environment in which we are staying, the cultures that we adopt as people, and treatment takes a long period. How then can we do it? I recommend that we need to enhance on preventive mechanisms. And this preventive mechanism includes recruiting more mental health workers in the community to actually sensitize the community members on how to identify the signs and symptoms of mental illness within the community so that they can be able to intervene before it is severe. Another thing is, why can we have even parenting education sponsored by the government so that the parents at home, the caregivers at school, can have this knowledge to prevent people relapsing into mental illness? Then we also have institutions. I would not say that we only need a dining institution. All institutions, including government offices, we need mental health workers. We have so many candidates and colleges in the country who are trained, they don't have jobs. But you go to these institutions, government offices, we don't have anybody assisting these people within that workplace. And we have candidates being posted or recruited to be in every institution just to perform health education within that institution. Then we also have, I will talk this in terms of the criminal justice system. We know that when somebody murders somebody, that person will not be allowed to plead guilty until mental assessment is done. I believe that all people who commit offenses, whether assaults, whether figures, or whether malicious damage, at the time of committing that offense, they are not in their normal mental standards. Why should we not have a policy that can enforce that at police or somebody has been, there should be mental assessment on why that person committed that offense? Because it is the environment in which we grow, we live, that we do certain acts even. Why is it that people who have committed assaults are easily brought to court and told that you plead guilty, they plead guilty and they are sentenced to imprisonment? If they are sentenced to imprisonment without that assessment, we we can never understand whether in prison this person is going to have an enhanced mental health or is going to be stable. So I recommend that in the team of God and other laws of Kenya, we have the people undergoing criminal sentences or those who have caused any harm should undergo assessment before they are taken to court. Another area where we are asking, who are special categories? We have this group of people who have been forgotten, the exceptionally gifted persons. Exceptionally gifted persons. These are people who think and act beyond their age. And in most cases in the criminal justice system, you find that when you go, the youth that are in institutions, confined institutions, these are people who are actually exceptionally gifted, but because the caregivers do not understand, do not know how to identify the symptoms of that person, this youth is languishing in a prison because his thinking, his actions were beyond his age and nobody noticed. And we actually have specialists in schools, specialists in communities who can identify symptoms of exceptionally gifted persons, because in most cases they will break down mentally or they will engage in criminal related activities. Another area is that the Ministry of Health, does not take much keen interest on actually sensitizing and bringing material posters on mental health in the community. Mental health is advertised everywhere. You see the posters here. When you go to hospital, you find those posters. Why don't we have such material put in the public so that the public can really know what it is? Another area is the infrastructure. Western is only served by a unit which has been created at the Kakamega Referral Hospital. I would recommend that let every county have a unit of mental health where people can be assessed, people can go. I know doing that, the cost of treatment will be lower than the what it is currently. Two, I would recommend that the government should establish centers, rehabilitation centers, assessment centers, which are more cheaper. We work with the criminal justice system, and when we get a drug addict or people who, people are saying that they committed the offense because they are mental district, we have to refer them to Madare mental units. That is where the assessment will be done and all that, and that is when they can only get free medication. Otherwise, we will refer them to private institutions which are very expensive and the community members cannot meet the expenses. I also thought that I recommended that in those units after establishment, we need the expansion of the social workers, psychologists to be strengthened in those institutions. Currently, the probation department only has a liaison officer at the Madare mental unit to deal with those people who have passed through the criminal. Why can't we have ours at the Kakamega County Hospital? So that instead of referring these people together, we can still use the mechanisms that are within them and people in this region. If I ask here, do we know each other as organizations working in the mental health sector? I'm sure there is no data of who is doing what, who is doing what. So we may be duplicating services. Can we actually do networking so that we minimize the multiplication of what we may not be seeing and the people remain suffering? In conclusion, I say that as a person stand up for mental health, stand up to stigma, join the campaign on mental health today, and stand up for mental health.
Thank you very much. Individual contributions, since I have received this memorandum from Jane.
2023 objectives. We have just extracted all of the objectives, and the objective was stereotype, effect, and stigma on the mentally ill in Kenya to the case of Bungoma County. Actually, the study was done in Bungoma County. And the purpose was to remove the current status of social treatment of the mentally ill persons by the community. We've heard about stigma, we've heard about people talking about stereotypes and the rest of that. So I'm saying that we are evaluating the current status of social treatment of the mentally ill in the community. And this is the community where most of us have said that there is the pastor, there is the family, there is the teacher, there is the police and everybody. And when the people say they are mentally ill, the people who are infected or those of us who are affected will be true to say that sometimes they are not taken comfortably. So people look at you with the eyes and they wonder. Then this in fact is not only looking to social treatment of the mentally ill, but it also wanted to give an overview of the key issues facing those who are in position, like the government, to implement the planning and provision of mental health systems, the potential for wider platforms. The wider platforms have been talked about here, whom we should include and who should help. Outside the health studies, for mental health improvement, including schools and the workplace, and don't forget the family. So we know that mental illness has been a problem which is existing in Kenya, and it is growing. And it is even expected to grow more, especially in the emergence of devolution. Why is it going to be a problem in the emergence of devolution? Because health services have been devolved. And the few speakers who have been here are saying that we don't have enough infrastructure. And you'll agree with me. I've been at Nagare, I've been in Mekamega, I've been in Eldoret. In Bungoma we don't have some say that in Kitale there is none in Kapenguria and the rest of it. So the Tatum will agree with me that the most nearest facility which is fair is more in Barrel Hospital Mental Unit. It is fair, but the capacity is small and it can't accommodate most of those who are to be inpatient persons for that matter. And then we are saying, in the recent times, some of us, you open the TV, you look at the paper, it's like we are waking up to many shocking incidents, ranging from people, including school children, committing suicide, others murdering their loved ones. It is clear that stigma and discrimination act as a pervasive influence that affects all levels of planning and implementation of treatment and services related to mental health. We all agree that stigma, because somebody has said that lady from Westerman has just said she's a master's degree holder, she has a master's in each area, but then when she applies for a job, somebody knows she's mental sick and she won't get a job. So in the community, that is where we have this problem. So let me also say that evidence-based say that interventions, contact interventions, are effective to reduce stigma. For that, when we are interacting like this, my sister here is comfortable, she's comfortable, because you know this is a condition that can be managed. That lady knows it can be managed because when she went off the drug, she relapsed. But now, drugs, what can she do? She's requesting the government as a planner, issue them capability to enable them or us in the community, those affected, to work and be effective and integrate with other people in the community. Now, part of the explanation for mental health gap is that the services provided are often seen by people with mental illness and their care, those who take care of them, as being inaccessible because somebody has said, we don't have a facility here. So how many kilometers? How are you going to transport this person to that place? It is inaccessible and unacceptable. So we say, indeed, telling us mental health care means paying attention both to the quantity and to the quality of care available. So we do not want quantity, but we want that quality. What is
the mental health person going to give. Just services like any other person. They also need to care privately, they also need to care just like any other person with malaria. So the quality matters that we need so much in quality. Mental health care should consist of a careful balance of hospital and community care, with most care provided at or near to people's homes. However, some studies have been carried out, and this particular one was carried out by Unika and Smith in 2018 in Bungoma County, and it established that there is minimal interaction between the community and people suffering from mental illness. Also, a study was conducted by Anne Gifonyo in 2009 on facts leading to the escalating number of ill persons in Bungoma County. It revealed that the national programs to mitigate the apparent devastating risk should be emphasized in the management of mental health and mental illnesses phenomena for improved mental health and quality of life. But research, there are no researches on family, community, political, economy, and social factors, and these are the things or the social determinants that escalate the process of mental health problems in the country. And there is also no preparedness for the community to handle or to respond to the mental health problems. Unfortunately, past studies on mental illness have been based on causes and symptoms of the disorders. These studies, however, they provided very scanty information on the amount of public and basic knowledge and stigma and perceptions among the community members. In conclusion, it is evident from the findings that there is a minimum interaction between community and the mental ill persons that was specified in Bungoma County of Western Kenya. The study findings also established that the negative perception of the community of Bungoma County towards the mental ill persons, this led to stigma and stereotype effect on the mentally ill persons. The study then recommends, as most of us have said, that sensitization of the community or the public on mental illness is very important. I was very specific in Bungoma County. Also, scaling up public awareness campaigns to reach more people at all levels by diversifying the approaches. Which approaches can be used? Targeting specific group of family members having mental illness. The previous or the other speaker has just talked that we need to have all these people in specific areas, so that they can diversify the knowledge, so they can give knowledge, they can counsel and give relevant information. The study also recommended that there should be stimulation of further research, as Peter also spoke about that research should be continuous. So stimulate further research regarding mental health knowledge and perceptions of the mental of the community, in order to improve basic knowledge and change in attitude and perception of the Bungoma community, as well as health-seeking behavior of mentally ill individuals. Because people may find that they are sick, but they don't seek health services. Then another strategy was that another recommendation was that by training more community health workers towards positive perceptions of mental illness, in order to change the behavior and perceptions of the community, as well as health-seeking behavior of the mental ill. This then will empower the Bungoma community members regarding knowledge of mental illness, and as a result, it will increase the community members' social interaction with the mental ill in the community. So that was just a part of the research which had three objectives. So we are asking the task force to release resources in the form of money form of human beings so that we can do these researches and that we improve the mental health in our country so that we have a healthy country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have received this from students. You will say something. But first, I want to find out.
My name is Christophia. I work for an organization, Building Livelihoods Organization. In terms of research, are we doing issue-based research? Because we cannot solve a problem that we do not know. Are we sensitizing our community? Young people today are suffering from peer pressure. There is too much pressure on young people. I want to be like so and so. I want this job, but I'm not getting this job. I graduated 5 years ago, but I'm not getting a job. Those are the issues that are ailing our young people today. We cannot compare the ages of 80s and the current ages that we have today. We have different unique problems. How are we then addressing issues of the young people? Something.
I'm a Sina, come from Bungoma. Represent the Health NGO Network, Bungoma Chapter. What is the idea for you to highlight the team to repeat the task force that I'm able to raise some of the concerns on the opportunities that are around that we can be able to replace in perspective of mental health issues in the country. As you are in Pinada, we realize that
employment, system because many of them have also been declared as an issue in Kasimeto. So, there's the issue of school that the madam was talking with the late teachers be trained. In our primary school, there was an aspect of PPI every Friday. For those who are good classes, we used to meet Friday, very early in the morning, start after parade, we start the recuperation and such. So why is it that people in advance, let us, the all classes, set aside our 30 minutes, where teachers can talk to each class from Form 1 to Form 4 on the issue, mental illness and how they can battle stress. Thank you, have a nice day.
I'm Dr. Chase Clifford from the PGH. Currently I'm an MOA in Canada. So, most of what I'm going to say has already been said, maybe just from the perspective of a healthcare provider. Now, maybe giving a few illustrations of what's actually happening. So, up until now, where are we at in terms of strength and mental health care? I think we are trying our level best to provide good inpatient care, much as our capacity is very limited, but we are trying the few that we can get to be in, to be admitted. Something is happening in terms of the medical aspect of managing psychiatric illnesses. We give them the drugs that we need to and monitor them and advise on which drugs to begin taking, giving them a diagnosis, and also that's it. We are able to do outpatient follow-up clinics every Tuesday and Thursday, which I think has been helpful for most of our patients. As we have seen some of them in this gathering, it's hard to even tell. It means they are also normal people just as we are. Then we've also been able to have things that is trained in terms of the human resource, some professional guidance and counseling sessions by psychologists in our facility. So those are the strengths that we have in terms of taking care of the health, mental health of our people. What are our challenges for now? I just mentioned, some of them have been mentioned, but first just to point to the societal knowledge, attitude and practices when it comes to matters of mental health. What is the predisposition of our people and what is the point of view of mental health? Most of the time it is alluded to, say, witchcraft or it's an inborn illness and all that. Our schools today, I'm a depressed student in high school, and the teacher keeps telling me I'm not doing well. He's getting my depression even worse. So when the teacher wakes up to the news that I committed suicide, should be not a shock, but we all act like we are so shocked because we have not put it. The knowledge and attitude of our people in the community, in the families, in the religious bodies, the churches and the mosques, we have not yet welcomed the idea of mental health as a condition that can actually be handled and managed until everybody that has been affected gets to function normally just as everyone else is. While we mentioned in the family, we've had a case where we have admitted both a father and a son. And it would be not sure if we welcome if we admit another member of the family. Because even within the family, there isn't yet, if one person in the family has had a mental illness, then if they are well aware of the nature of mental illness, then when a second one happens, we hope that it's not as severe, or if we're doing things right and the family members are getting information and news as they ought to get, then the other subsequent ones can be prevented in terms of taking care of the stressors and just having a constant follow-up. The second thing is financial constraints. Most of our patients, we can admit them. Some will tell you point blank, you'll admit me, but we can't get out of this place because of the bills that are waiting for us. Getting to afford the drugs, want of our people that are unable to take care of the cost of education. I think sometimes that HIV and AIDS was an issue and nobody could afford the same, but today it's being provided, it's being offered because it is something special. And for now we ought to treat even mental illness as something that's special. It's not a priority for most people, for most families. So poverty has interfered with adherence and compliance to medication and even visiting the clinics. I know that we have a lot of patients prolapsing not because they do not want to take medication but because of the financial status. The other issue is that we delay in access. I'm just trying to have a look at the number of public facilities for mental health that we have. I think across this county and even the neighboring counties, we just have the one at Kakamega. It just is the point of making healthcare accessible to our people. So the next one is in Eldoret, and then the other one is in Nairobi at Madari. So most of our people do not have access. If we have one psychiatrist in the whole county and extending to the neighboring counties, we are probably not doing very well in terms of trying to take care of our the mental state of our patients. So the three delays, the delay to decide to go for healthcare, which is in the family, the delay to actually get to that place of healthcare, and the delay to after getting into the place, do you get the actual drug that you need to get in the right time that you need it? So that's one of the other challenges. The other thing is drugs and substance abuse among the youth. There is no, most of the youth that we have admitted in our facility or whom we are on follow-up for are a result of drug abuse, either alcohol or ban. This might be beyond what the hospital can do, but if we had a rehabilitation center that is accessible for our people, because they'll come and get well, but as soon as they go back, because we are not per se offering rehabilitation, treatment or counseling and all in our facility, if we could have such a center that's accessible, then we would soon begin to have champions of mental health can champion and help the others see the effect of the drugs and see that they actually walked out of it. Like today we have HIV and AIDS champions, we have sickle cell champions, and all of these stigmatized conditions, when they can be champions, people that others can see as having overcome, it can go a long way in terms of getting us somewhere. The recommendation that we had that I hope we can take care of is has been said here, and I'll just say again, mental health education. Everywhere, from amongst the staff, in the workplaces, the country can do something about ensuring that mental health education is available to everyone, so that everybody knows what is depression. Not for say I'm stressed, it's been a depression, but we don't really know the magnitude, the magnitude of what we are talking about, what is schizophrenia, what is a mood disorder, and all these things. Even the professionals do not know. It can't get down into the community. So if we can have a universal mental health education in our schools, in our churches, in our places of work, because we have colleagues who are maybe struggling with drug dependence, we have colleagues who are depressed, we have colleagues who are having subtle features of maybe schizophrenia, but because nobody knows, nobody is able to reach out and help. Mental health begins with me and you. If you do not know how I'm doing, tomorrow you might wake up and find I committed suicide. In one way or another, it starts with us being the brother's keeper, and it doesn't start until we have mental health education. The way we are championing for sexual health education, the way you've championed for HIV and AIDS education, so I think we should about mental health. We do so well in the institution, and this I think is important, that we might improve our care. care out of the medical institution or rather the institutionalized care. Once the patient has been discharged from the hospital, how much are we able to do? Just how much are we doing? Are we embracing other than the drugs? You know, we treat the biological, the drugs, we have the psychological and social treatment. So we are almost doing not much in terms of psychosocial treatment. Do we sit down with these families? Do we have somebody who sits down with these families and talks to them so that they understand? It is saddening to know that we've had a case of a patient who has lost their hand because at one point when he was being admitted, the family members wrapped the hand so much that it died off and it was amputated. If they had a good insight about what mental illness is, then they wouldn't be training patients who've been hit hard or wamepigwa wakapigwa kabisa na anakata kusikia sasa wanamleta wanamsema huyu anasumbua. So they don't consider that an illness. It is like saying because I have a headache and this is malaria, so I'm being beaten for having a headache. How the community health workers more empowered and trained on this, if we can improve our group therapy, have alcoholic anonymous and everything everywhere that we can. But then if we could have a rehabilitation center and also the primary the facilities that we already have, we could have more people there. Our facility doesn't have, for instance, CCT, which I think we need, maybe something that can be put into consideration. Otherwise, thank you all so much. It's good to hear from a broad spectrum of young people. As you have seen, we have a lot to contribute. Stephen Obama, I give you a couple of minutes so that you can have as many people speak as possible. I want to thank the facilitators for giving me this opportunity, and I'm happy also to interact with Dr. Atwoli. I've been listening to him a lot, presentations and even following his columns. And my name, as I said, I'm Stephen Obanga. I want to say that today when I was just coming here, somebody sent me a message and he was talking about integrity in Japan. And he was saying Japan now is the leading nation where people return things that they have found lost. If you find any mobile phone or you find anything lost, you return it either to an agency that can keep back or can look for the owner. And I was wondering if such a research is done in Kakamega or in Kenya, how many things do you return? And this person was writing and associating that to mental health, that a society that is healthy, they don't pick things that are not theirs and stay with them. So sometimes when we talk about mental health, you only think of the extreme cases. But somebody told me when I was growing up that it is only the degree that matters, but all of us are the same. Sawa sawa. And then I want to say also that in the last World Health Mental Day campaign, the theme was young people and mental health in a changing world. And I'm very happy that we have had the views coming from young people, because when you look across the spectrum, even crime has gone mental. I remember one time I was working in a university in Kakamega, and an FBI agent came from New York looking for a young man who was a specialist, who was specially talented, to the extent that he can tap dollars from New York and tap sterling pounds from Britain and bring them to Kakamega. But up to now, he has not been traced, even though the FBI agent arrived in the office of the big person in the university, because he was able to escape. So even people, I like what Ruth Mandela said, that they need to involve psychologists and psychiatrists in cracking on crime, because the terrorism and the crime today is not as simple as it was, and it is because of those exceptionally talented people who are being neglected. Now, my major focus on this paper, I was looking at sustainable funding of mental health. Sustainable funding. Because I realized that we have mental health providers in the community, but many of them are underutilized. And at the best, at the source of everything, it is that they are not being financially enabled. And some of the issues that we can focus on, because we need excessive fear, or worry, and anxiety. These are things that impact many people in the community. Such a way to grow, somebody just does not want to associate with anybody. And sometimes we feel the person is just having a swag or putting on airs. But actually, she's going into some mental or dramatic changes in eating. Somebody ate is overeating or undereating. The same applies also to sleeping patterns. Or detachment from reality. This is where now we say now we are taking somebody to the hospital. When somebody has delusions, paranoia, hallucinations, I'm talking about cases we have always encountered here, and especially within our region. We have inability to cope with daily problems or stress. Many people go through that, particularly when they are financially unable to cater for their daily or whatever they need to do. Trouble understanding or relating to situations and to people. So this is what we see in our schools, what we see in our young people. Alcohol and drug abuse, I don't need to emphasize that, but it is here with us also. We have major changes in eating habits, major changes in eating habits. We even have sex drive changes. There is excessive anger, hostility and violence, and sometimes this is what leads to suicidal thinking. But I wanted to also mention that mental health is a common condition. Sometimes it has affected even some of our heroes, like a person like Abraham Lincoln, who was the US president, had a mental health condition. Somebody like Winston Churchill, who was one of the greatest prime ministers that Britain ever had a mental health problem. Somebody like Isaac Newton, whom we celebrate today, to be a physics or scientific person, you must talk about Isaac Newton. He had a mental health problem. So when we see that these people have grown and become great like that, why should we not have the same even in our society? So, then I just want to say that we have a mental health structure in Kenya that most of the time when you take somebody with a mental illness to hospital, he's seen by a psychiatrist or a medical doctor with that specialization in psychiatry. And this person prescribes medication. But the medication is administered by a psychiatric nurse who is supposed to execute the order of the psychiatrist. And we are saying we have only one lady who is a psychiatrist in the whole of the former Western province. So when will she sit in Busia, sit in Bungoma, sit in Kakamega, and see all the patients that have already been delivered? We have then the psychologists and counselors who help in the management of the patients before and after medication. And this is where we are saying that much of our focus should be on prevention and promotion of psychological well-being by promoting these people, training more, and sourcing or putting them in places where they can help. So in my proposal, I'm not just looking at government only, I'm looking at insurance companies, I'm looking at other financial providers like the banks and other institutions that have the corporate social responsibility. How we can get part of their finances to fund mental health care, because as somebody said, we have only given 0.5% of the health budget to mental health. The rest goes to the rest of the body. So we are raising healthy bodies, but we are having a problem mentally. And we are saying these mental health problems do not discriminate. They get to everyone, irrespective of where you are in the society. So I don't want to say much, but I want to mention that one challenge we have in funding mental health from what one survivor called Danish Odongo said, he had multiple mental illnesses. But when he left hospital and he had a policy with Jubilee Insurance Company, but he had not read the details of the document, the Jubilee Insurance Policy, because he realized later that it was only suffering for trauma and depression.
Only the two.
And yet, the ADHD, that is attention deficit disorder that you are suffering, would have been the one that brought about the depression. So, in my proposal, what I am proposing is that if we work on our policy, we can include a wider perspective of mental health problems to be covered under these policies. And with the government and other players, we can have an insurance policy that is able to sustain the mental health services provision up to the sub-county and even the world level. I am looking also at how a mental illness brings about the sexual and gender-based violence. If we have patches of that in the Kakamega County and in the rest of the region, and you realize that if we did primary prevention, we would not have the cases that we are having today. And lastly, I would like to say that in my paper, I have looked at majorly what happens in the Commonwealth countries and what happens in developed nations like the US. But the proposal, what I'm proposing is a mental health, a policy similar to the one practiced in Switzerland. The Switzerland has a mental health a policy that is based on what they are calling the Canton policy. They have a federal system just like we have in Kenya, our counties, and they have a way of funding mental health in a manner that every citizen can be able to access the right services when he needs it, and particularly the young or the youth, because now we are living in a globalized world. The young person in Kakamega today is interacting worldwide and is getting information daily on social media and elsewhere. So his thinking and how he interacts with his environment is not localized the way maybe some of us who are a bit older grew up. And that's why it is becoming very important that we borrow from some best practices across the region or across the world and put it in our mental health policy. I've given some recommendations looking at the mental health policy that we have running from 2030 on how we can improve on that. So in the interest of time, I will not share much, but I want to say that I work across with young people in institutions. I also work in the church. I've had people say perhaps the leaders or the pastors are a deterrent. They are a big problem to getting to be able to deal with mental health illnesses. We are trying a program this year. Just this week, we have been meeting a few leaders from the community and also pastors who want to run a training program for religious leaders and also the chiefs, the sub-chiefs and the other community leaders, so that they have basic counseling skills, that they are doing a certificate and diploma training that is subsidized for them. We are also running a program to train them in mediation. All of you are aware that since the coming of Chief Justice Maraga, we have now introduced the four-time mediation process. And Kakamega is one of the counties where we have introduced that. And it is helping to solve age-old problems, because you find some land cases are going up to the grandstands, and it is causing a lot of mental illness in the society, because the land that was your grandfather has not yet even come to you, but you are a grandson, you are also growing old. And this is what is causing a lot of animosity and fights within communities. But with the mediation now, we are finding that we are easily resolving those issues around land, because when you look at most mental problems, some of them originate from lack of resources or inability to access resources to be able to develop yourself economically and move ahead as a young person or as a person in the community. So if many more people are trained in this, then we shall be able to mediate our problems, our conflicts,
and tell no problem. Even if there is no review, nobody can steal anything like in the church. You need your space. That means the person said she has faith in. But supposing she left it and went away, when she gets there, supposing she left her back. And you know, sometimes we say in the church, now nobody steals. But some people now don't close their eyes when they say let us pray, because they are thinking somebody will pick my bag and go. That is talking about our mental health. I'm not saying much, I will just hand over this. And let us be free to discuss. In honor, that way you may only have to get rid of fun. But we thought Mesema, who will say that we will get out of here. Maybe it was making out of Jakarta, in a matter of course.
Thank you very much. Those who saw the announcement for this event, you must have seen an email address there.
Tafadhali tunaomba, as we are, kila community iko na taabu zake za kutosha. Tunaomba serikali itusaidie, media isitupatie fora instances all over the country, toka Somali mpaka Nairobi. Hapa Kakamega tayari tumepigana. So tungeomba kama media inaweza kuwa control mambo ingine yenye inahusu hasama katika jamii, kwa sababu tumejua ni ugonjwa. Tafadhali watuokoe na hiyo horror stories. Ukitaka kutangaza kitu, it's very expensive. Hata ukitaka kwenda kuongea mambo mzuri ya mental health, wanasema sijui ni 1,050. Lakini sasa sijui nani huwa anawalipa kutangaza mimi nimeua pia.
Tarugia tena nikani kwa Musa. I'm a social worker. Today I'll try to... I have two information to pass through. That is mental health and working life. Then I'll talk about mental health information and research. Concerning the mental health and working information, my information is passed through that the working environment, it's like a question that the working environment really addresses the issue of mental health to prevent or to ensure that those who are not in that line of experiencing things like depression or stress will then be cut off or considered in any moment they are working in that company or mental institution. Or are those people who are depressed and are looking for a few kind of people around, they have been trying to look for these jobs, but there are different rules that may lead, that's how they lead to people who are well to contract mental health illnesses. You find things that the regulation that are needed, you find things that is this issue of maybe corruption that always comes in. To find somebody else, as you, those people who are still young, they are out of school, they are looking for job. There are a lot that are required. You find job description that is, you require experience for 5 years. You are just maybe 1 year on the field. At the same time, you require to maybe in some offices you need to chip in to do something, maybe to get that job. This is the issue of corruption. We need to come maybe to a position that we address such that people may work or keep their best in terms of training so that they can solve the problem that is their country. In the second question is about the mental health information and research. The question is, if the mental department has a full information about where the largest population who suffer with mental health stresses, is it really in town or in the outskirts of the town? Does the media or the mental health department have the information of who really suffer from the issue of mental illness? Then the last question that I'll ask, when more is needed to be put in place by the mental health department such that all that suffer from mental illness, all that are likely to be in the bracket of suffering from this problem,
felt that they cannot be affected by the problem, especially those who are Syria. Then I want to ask you a recommendation to the task force. Maybe concerning the information, the task force will ensure maybe through the government, maybe comprehensive mapping, especially on the mental sector, to include all the practitioners, all the doctors and those that are in the mental sector, to ensure that there's good mapping, not that it's just built in the town, but outside in the villages in the site. The second recommendation, the establishment of the good mental health information, this by developing a national surveillance system based on international standards, harmonized and comparable status for data collection. Then the third recommendation is someone to carry out of periodic population based on mental health survey. This will help in covering and getting the required information concerning mental health and the site as well.
As I said before, my name is Mike, and I want to point out a few things, so I'll be very brief and quite fast, so in case anyone doesn't catch anything, can you stop me and I can repeat. So, first let's all start this from the general point and the more focused ones. One, about our culture. The cultural aspect needs to be taken into consideration when talking about mental health, because there are many things that are ingrained in our culture that contribute to mental health being missing one way or another. I want to single out what we have had in the social media for a while now called toxic masculinity. That, in essence, has really affected mental health, especially in men. Because we found that for a man to show weakness, especially to show that he is overwhelmed maybe with a situation, it's seen as not fitting in the cultural context. So this, in essence, contributes to the mental health of the person deteriorating. Now, moving from that, I want to continue to put stress on what you have just mentioned about the media and say that the need for the media to be capacity built on reporting on matters of mental health. We find that sometimes the way they report issues is not appropriate and it's not good, and even sometimes it can be in essence like encouraging others to do the same, especially on mother suicide. You know, if you report that someone committed suicide through this means and maybe successful, maybe someone somewhere else who's tried it in a different way fail, will think that now I think that's the way to go. See, so there need to be a capacity building for media on how to report on matters of mental health. Okay, and then coming to financing now. Find that NHIF covers mental health to a certain degree. But if you go to the common manager who is paying the NHIF money each and every month contributing, and we have a mental ill patient or the person himself suffers from mental illness, we don't even know that this is happening. So there needs to be sensitization about what is covered under NHIF and what is not covered. And now, apart from NHIF, there is also the NCPWD, National Council for Disability. Kindly, let us ask, is there anyone from that commission here today? NCPWD? Now, that's the disparity that there is in mental health and disability. Mental health has not been recognized as much as a disability. And it is a disability. Only reason it has been recognized by the government, and now they get that support of 2,000 shillings every month. Now, this is not sufficient, as we all know, but it is a step in the right direction. Now, I would really ask that if these people who are giving out this money, I don't know how it can be done, because I really feel that it's important for these persons who are suffering from mental health illness to be considered that even if a portion of that money goes directly to any NHIF now, because it will give them a whole lot of coverage in terms of not only mental illness, but also other ailments that they may suffer from. Again, now coming to staffing and the aspect of occupational therapy, which is highly understaffed in the country in general. And you find that occupational therapists are actually the persons who ensure that a person who has been treated, rehabilitated, and maybe reintegrated in the community, don't relapse. Because of the skill that they give that person in terms of even coming up with income-generating activity that can sustain their livelihoods while they're out of
that, I will go now also to stigma and discrimination towards these service providers now who are in the facilities. You find that they are highly discriminated against even from their own peers. And now, you also find that the same level of discrimination they are facing, they now transfer it now to the patients in terms of how they handle the patient or how the patient may be treated in that setup. So I propose that a few measures that can be used to to reduce the level of discrimination they face. One could be sensitization of mental health, even in the facility level. At facility level, people to be sensitized about mental health. Also, to promote the number of people who now want to venture into mental health practitioning, we can give incentives. Like, for example, we can do a salary increment for these people, for the psychiatric doctors, the psychiatric nurses, and also for the social worker and the occupational therapy. We can even do an incentive of people being put one job group ahead. It can be seen as can be done scholarships for them and other things for people who want to go into mental health. Now, rehabilitation centers in community should be considered. We need the resources in the community that can offer these services to the community, and apart from that also counseling centers in the community that can be able to offer these services to the people in the community. Also, psychological debriefing should be ingrained in all forms of employment, because you find that all employers need to be it can be put in place that employers need to have psychological debriefing for their staff, because it's also important. And one of the recommendations that came from the National Mental Health Conference in Nairobi was that we need to fast track Mental Health Act, how its implementation is going to be done. And also the need for the costed plan that was developed in 2015 to be actualized. And then there's a matter of data. In the CHP, the community health, as community health volunteers collect data at the community level, the data in the 514, 515, 5100 forms on mental health needs to be the indicators. They need to be added there so that you can get the data from that aspect. Now, coming back to the rehabilitation, kindly, Nakada,
we are trying to allow other people to get this kind.
So Nakada is what is the model in charge of rehabilitation. And in some way, they have alienated themselves from mental health. And you find that even substance use disorder is a form of mental health. So there is need to bring these two back together so that even in those spiritual centers, we can ensure that the standards that are there are high, that can even cater for not only persons with substance use disorders, but also persons who are facing mental health issues. And thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Pretty comprehensive.
The next person is this gentleman in white, and then we come to the lady.
Gracias.
handle this, but we are not making good use of them because we don't know them and we don't know how to reach them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the beautiful work. And I'm moving this right now as we keep wiping up.
Doctor, mine has been saved especially by the next month. That's what we have to reach not have from the views that have come up. We need to have a mental health support service for mental health professionals. Take for example the people who work at the psychiatric hospital at the mental hospital. Somebody has said they look like their patients. Because if you are always hearing stories of black men, at the end of the day, you don't have a place to empty yourself, you'll also be as good as a madman. So we need to have support services for mental health practitioners so that they can also have a way of freeing and releasing themselves from the burden that they hear all day long. Secondly, that's why we need to have VCD centers for HIV. Why don't we have counseling centers in our communities so that when somebody feels bad, they can walk to our country center and talk to somebody who is there to listen to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to show you just an example of how a psychiatrist looks like. Those who are here, isn't it? Yeah? Do you hear a psychiatrist? Yeah? Here is what? You can stand up so that people can see who a psychiatrist looks like.
Kuna mambo mingi watu wanaongea hapa, zingine we are the solution. do everything. CSP is a lot of solutions to everything in the community. Now, the government provides to put the last time to get the memoranda. Out of the stories that were coming up, the
bado kuna muda wa kutuma hiyo memoranda ikiwa mtakuwa na kitu ambacho umeandika, kwa sababu unajastaki ni kudispose, tunachukua notes, lakini tunataka kama utaweza kutuma kwa hiyo mimi
tutaandika,
utachukua hiyo.
So kama nitachukua dakika nane utanuia kura, sababu wengine wanaongea karibu mara tatu, kwa sababu ningepeta kiasi hawa anapelekea, tumesema Uhuru amewatuma and I'm very glad. CSP kwenye tukitoa nafasi hapa tukipate unalemana kuja nai kulingana na CSP tushafundishwa kukua standby kama standby, tuko ole control kiitwa unaitika the things that have attended this meeting ndio walipata nafasi wengi wengine wanatend kwa communities. So CSP initially wakati tuliwekwa on call through kitu inaitwa CSA, Community Health Strategy, how I hope they were here. Hapa sisi kuna madaktari wote wa level 5, sisi ni madaktari wa level 1, tukifanya kazi chini ya Community Health Strategy ningejitanda wakapata hiyo awa polisi wenye wakojaka sai tafikisha huo ujumbe. In Kakamega tuliambishwa 2013, that is all the way for training. And this is what we are told, that for you to be a fully established CSP, you have to undergo 14 modules of training. Wangekuwa hapa wangesema wamefundisha modules ngapi. Sadly, mental health is not part of that module, not part of the 14 modules. Community Matano, Mother, Community Matano, the social matter of child health, maternal health clinic at least 4 times. But that you, that child is aware that you have to have a physical generic. That child is aware that you have to come out mama and she has mental illness. So I just said, like, when we talk of HIV, sayisi hakuna mtoto ako supposed kuzaliwa na virusi hiyo ukimwi. So huyo PhD kwa hii package ya community maternal health care, tunaanza kutoka mama kama ako na nenda ya hospitali ya ego kwa satai. Once you have done that, tunamrifa. Hawa just identify and rifa. And give health care. I will refer. Wakati mama ako na nenda ya hospitali, tunajibu seven visits. Immediately mama anata, on day one of delivery namtembelea. Day three of delivery namtembelea. Day seven, mother up to 2 years and up to 5 years. After 5 years, she will say, 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 she tukiwa mpawa, sola identika hivi kitu mapema kama bado mtoto ajenda wa shuleni na mimi wanda kuchapa akimuondoka akiza kwa hivi kitu ulekua identika ipale kwa community level. Sisi CHPs, kuna watu kwa community stigma, watu wameondoka kuhusu stigma tumekitolea. Kuna watu wanatoa dawa hawawezi leza, na sisi kama CHPs we are able to provide treatment support to such clients. Kina wasapot by making sure they are here to drug. It's only today that I've had kumbe hii mental illness is a lifelong treatment. Let's go measure that. It's just here. So make sure I'm not talking about this. Since I've already said that follow up, I have to start to say that we only provide the occupational therapy. I've shared all that. See if this is my ability to be shared with that. We might have follow up. Follow up me as it. Nitataka kupata feedback alipenda kutaja alikuwa alisema nini na nini afanya akiwa kule nyumbani. We give follow up na hapo during follow up ni wakati tunaendaa kugonjwa kupata dawa na kuendelea kumpatia health stock. Lakini sasa mental health ni hatuna. Hapa nitasema kitu kimoja ni summarize. Kama kuna zaidi ya sauti tutafika kwa email. Community strategy, CHS mission wake, ilikuwa ni kuattend na kuprovide quality services at the community level. Which is provided for by the CHS. Kuna hii kitu walikuwa na kuangalia tukiona quality model health. Which is supposed to provide evidence-based treatment. Na tukia kuhu tukaweza kusema, kazi kwanza, kazi kwanza. UHC mission to that. Health is one of the mission that if we do not strengthen level 1 of the health sector, which is provided by the CHPs, how do you achieve universal health care? Even on the first level, as far as Peter said, your mama, caregiver, your friend, and your best friend on the same, same previous CHPs, and networking, as Peter talked here of networking, kile tukiko kwa hapa tutawaja hata hiko wa kia kwame ni Finanza Western. So we should have to do something about it. About that is one. So these are some of the challenges we as CHPs face. So we can never come up to project identity by one coordination. Sisi, wakati tuli better on board, hata shule yetu ya tena na tema community health workers. Later on, we have asked community health volunteers. Entitled to a stipend of 2,000 per month. Of which is where the student comes. As I'm talking here, we have stayed for 3 years that student that is still volunteer. Another challenge that I have to know is to know because this theater was enshrined in our Kenyan constitution. We lack tools. Sometimes we encounter emergency cases in the community. Those people have been living. You have encountered an emergency like
Tiku Mgocha Kudoda.
Sometimes when I go to the doctor, I say, why? If you're here, you need to go to the doctor. another device. Hii kitu inaitwa CSP. Na CSP kwa sababu yake iko kwa sheria. Because wanashinda hata kuteremeresha and they come out. So you can see or any other uptime or in-time or whatever business they have in this country, if you don't open them the level 1 health center, you are paid by the nation. The fifth thing, as for what I have from those people who have experienced the mental challenges, we should be empowered through this, through training, through benchmarking, I mean benchmarking, to improve our skills on providing services as a community. Another one thing that I've learned, as people say to the trust, I'm at the time when I'm going to handle it, I'm going to come up with my situation, CHP. But what if you say, yeah, you are told, you only need a plan to level 2. That is the facility approach. And of course, we need to go to the we can do that with our lives, one and it. But next time, we don't know the power, general, but about to put it to our friends and do it as a group, which are put to the people that say, yeah, you are to our lives, what are some of you that are? Some of you are to the Ministry of Health, who they come to the government of from level 3 to level 1. To get you, who lives in level 6? Who lives in kilometers and Indiana? Not that that is Indiana, to Kuala and Shima. Then you want to go back to the meeting, you want to go to the room. You want to go to the door of the door. And I never have to remember the register. And I never have to remember the door of the door. Because I have to go to the door. I have to go to the door. Because I'm a ninaomba through the Ministry of Health and through this task force tutambulike. Na wanafikirie, mwaka kwa volunteer needs facilitation, a volunteer needs to be employed, ni kakaye kuu. Pia kitu ni kitoka, unataka tumekuja hapa yes kitoka ya volunteer. Sip shaw, like kitoka ya yes.
Unaona mimi ni nasuka moja kwa sababu, and you people, I don't know. Me, I know. But in health, the ones who, the owners of the community, and these ones who are in the community, isn't it? Those are the owners. The rest of us are the service providers. We are the ones in the community. So at least, ni muhimu, wasikizwe, wakwe facilitate, wasaidiwe kufanya kazi vizuri. Nataka kupangia dakika moja, tafadhali.
In fact, mimi dakika moja. But I appreciate what she has brought up, very important. So my dear life of Mr. Aswa, I'm a student counselor at Masinde Muliro University, and I'm a member of KUPKA, Kenya University Professional Board. Now, I think, just the way she has said, we need to start from down. Because we are seeking these people when they have reached a certain level. I was looking at the root causes of mental health. If we look at those root causes, as one of the youth said here, peer pressure, stress, the root causes. And these root causes, if they will be handled at community level, and therefore we need to empower the community. How do we interact with our children? How do we interact with each other? We also need to have more trained psychologists and counselors. And I want to appreciate one thing that the government last year decided that now counseling is going to demand training. We are going to get our syllabus, I think, from the government. So it's just not individual where I wake up and I say, I'm running a 5-day training and now you have a counselor. Because we don't have counselors. We don't have in school. When they see me, the way I'm a nice mother, looking mother in here, they say, that away we, you are a counselor. But you are not trained. We get students from schools coming to visit us, and I ask them, do you have a counselor? Yes. Do you let your counselor? Yes, it's mother. Does she keep your secret? No. The most of the counselors who are in school are your investigators. They just want to find out if he's with you. Same as you to one game and then to the other. The minute you reveal that actually I stole, they want to report you to the principal.
So even when they come to the university, for them to accept us, when we say confidentiality, we are judgmental, we will look, we will discuss it, and it will end here. It is at all for that. Can we have more counselors trained from primary to secondary to university? And let's have enough. In some places I will not support, you find that maybe there are only 3 counselors, vis a vis 20,000 students. How do you cope? So let's help each other down here, so that what comes up is at least what we are not able to handle. But if we can give support from Chini, trauma from Chini, even teachers, I also feel that people who deal with public, like even in offices, like even our teachers, let them just have something or something. Let them try to understand. Because a child comes, maybe a kid who has gone up, but you want to get Jesus swami, Anisha, Jesus Suria. And I think it's like, wow, this child could be hiding something behind. If we have somebody who understands, is able to support this child from down, let's not start supporting from the top. Because when we get these students in the university, as I see a counselor as I hear, we have here counselors who will identify fellow students. By the time they come, they have so many challenges. Another thing that maybe could be taken up is children coming up in a they say a child with one parent, broken home. They are having a lot of effect on our children. Broken home. Violence in the home. And our parents, I'm sure they thought, but they thought in secret. Today we just fight with our children watching us and they're helping us. I will invite my co-host and tell you, thank you for giving me that moment.
Thank you very much. So I know in my experience,